The Apostle Paul asked the church at Thessalonica to pray for him that the word of the Lord may have free course. And if the Apostle Paul needed the prayers of the people, you know I do. And I hope you'll be in a prayerful attitude as I endeavor to preach to you this morning. I'd like to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, where the Apostle Paul made this statement to the church at Corinth, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now we know in nature, in the material world, we walk by sight. We use our natural vision in order to walk. If we didn't have good sight, we would be stumbling and falling. But in the spiritual realm, we walk by faith, not by sight. And our faith is to our soul what our eyes are to our bodies. And aren't you thankful that God has given us faith in Him, and that we can walk by faith, we can live by faith, and not by sight. Now, what is faith? Well, faith is having confidence in something or somebody. You had faith this morning, apparently, in that bench you're sitting on, or you probably wouldn't have sat down. I've seen some chairs in my life that I didn't have enough faith in them to sit on them. I don't think they'd have held me up. But you all had faith in these benches enough that you sat down on them. When you get on an airplane, you got to have some faith in the plane, in the pilot, in the control tower. When your car is not acting right and you go to a mechanic, do you want to go to a mechanic that you know has failed to be a good mechanic? Or do you want to go to one that's had success? You have faith in him that he will do you a good job. It's the same way with doctors. How many of y'all want to go to a doctor that you have faith in? That's a good feeling, isn't it, to have faith in somebody? Now that is natural faith in the natural world that we live in. And our faith in people or benches or airplanes is usually based on our observation and our experience with those people or those things. But faith in God is different. Faith in God is in the spiritual realm. I was born December the 5th, 1948. But I believe I was born again somewhere around the year 1960, 61, 62. Born again means being born of the Spirit or born from above. And when I was born again, born of the Spirit, God gave me the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. When you're born of the Spirit, God gives you a dimension of faith that you can't have in the natural realm. And it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we praise God that He has given us faith in the spiritual realm, which is like vision to our inner being, our spiritual man. And we praise God and thank that. And thank Him for that today. And beloved, our faith in God blesses us to know Him and to learn more about Him. And what a blessing it is when God's children are blessed in this life to know Him. And we ought to be growing. We ought to be growing in the spiritual realm. All of us should be growing in our love for God and for one another. How would y'all agree with that? How many of us love God enough today? We want to love him more, don't we? We want to grow in our knowledge of God. I want to tell you, the more you and I know about God, the more blessed we will be and the stronger our faith will be. And we want to grow in our ability to trust God, to have faith in God. Because the more you trust him, the more you have faith in him, the more peace you will experience in this life. And you won't be so worried and troubled and anxious about things in this life. Now, as Primitive Baptists, we have enough faith to believe what the Bible says about Jesus as our Savior. You remember in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, the angel said to Joseph, when he found out that Mary was expecting a child, and he knew it wasn't his, and he was going to put her away privately, and an angel appeared to him and said, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now let me tell you, do y'all believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? I see a few hands going up. Well, the only way you and I can believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is by faith. Our faith enables us to believe what the Bible says about this young virgin conceiving and bringing forth a child. Our faith enables us to believe the Bible. How many of y'all believe the Word of God today? The good book. I want to tell you, our faith enables us to believe every word in this book from Genesis to Revelation. And then the angel said, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall..." Now, I want to underline that word "shall." "For he shall..." Did y'all get that? It didn't say he might. It said he shall. He shall what? Save his people from their sins. Now, how many of us this morning have enough faith in God to believe that his son was a successful savior and he saved everyone he came to save? I'll raise my hand on that. My faith is that Jesus Christ was a total success as a Savior. Everyone he wants with him in heaven will be there without the loss of one. And let me tell you, God sent his son into the world to save his people, and Jesus got the job done. We sung that song this morning, "It is finished." Did y'all hear that song? What was finished? The work he came to do as Savior, and he got it done. And my faith this morning is that everybody that Jesus wants with him in heaven will be there, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he did on that cross 2,000 years ago. Where is your faith this morning? I believe Jesus Christ can save the chief of sinners. And you know who that was? It was Saul of Tarsus. And Jesus, by his sovereign grace, saved the chief of sinners. He can save anybody else that he wants to save. Where is your faith this morning? Are y'all worried that many people that God wants in heaven are going to end up in hell? If so, then you need your faith exercised to know that, listen, salvation is as much the work of God as creation was. Now, you know, beloved, when we talk about faith, it takes faith to believe in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It didn't say that God created man and then man was going to help him create. You know when God created man? On the sixth day. after everything else was created, God created man. Do y'all remember that? He didn't create him and say, now Adam, I need help to create the clouds and the sun and the moon and the stars, and I want you to come in and do your part. No, God did it all. You know, it's interesting that the first day that Adam ever lived on this earth was the Sabbath. He just rested that first day all day long. Are y'all with me? How many of y'all are resting in God's work today? I've probably shared this with you all, but somebody said the reason God didn't create Adam until the last thing was because Adam would have been going around saying, well, look what me and God did. Knowing us, like I know us, we'd have probably wanted to take some credit. But listen, when Adam opened his eyes for the first time in the Garden of Eden, he saw a completed creation. Everything was finished. The birds, they were just like God wanted them. The sun coming up, just like God wanted it. He didn't say, now Adam, could you help me create the whales a little better? I'm having a problem with them. No, no. Listen, Adam couldn't take any credit for it. Now I'm going to be cautious right here and beg for your forgiveness right now, the sisters, but they say the reason he didn't create Eve earlier because he didn't want anybody telling him how to do it. Well, I want to tell you, God did it all. We sung that song this morning, How Great Thou Art. Oh, Lord, my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. I tell you, by faith, I believe God did it all. Now, when it comes to salvation, he did it all himself. I know sometimes people like to think the preacher helped God save sinners, or the missionary, or mom or dad. No, he did it all, beloved. On that cross, right by himself, 2,000 years ago, in 6 hours, he saved us from our sins. And we're here this morning to give him the glory for it. What about y'all? Now, faith in God enables us to believe in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 that Jesus Christ actually saved his people from their sins. Furthermore, our faith in God enables us to believe in the power of God. I want to turn with you a moment this morning over to Matthew chapter 8, and I want to read with you a portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 8, and beginning in verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. That's Jesus getting into a ship, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was, y'all remember what Jesus was doing? He was sleeping. He was. Jesus was sound asleep during this great tempest or storm. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now they were not wanting to be saved in this text from eternal hell. They were wanting to be saved from a temporal death, from the storms. Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Now I can witness with that. I have to confess publicly this morning, there have been seasons in my life when I worried, when I fretted, when I doubted. And it was because my faith was little. Well, these disciples had little faith. Now, it's better to have little faith than no faith. But if we've got faith, our faith needs to be growing so that we can have more peace. Jesus was asleep in the tempest. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto him, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Did you know that expression, little faith, is used by Jesus to describe his disciples many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You reckon it might describe any of us this morning in the house? Many times Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Why would you doubt? Why would you worry? Why would you not trust me? And you know, that's what really our God wants out of us. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to have faith in him. How many fathers in the house today want your children to trust you? And when your children don't trust you, it's kind of it could be insulting. But listen, we want our children, we want to live in such a way that our children can trust us. I remember when my children were learning to swim and they were scared of the water. And I think all of us by nature are scared of the water. And I'd stand in the pool and I would ask them to please jump into my arms. And you know, they wouldn't for a long time. They were scared. And it kind of hurt my feelings. I'm your daddy. You know I'm going to catch you and take care of you. But it took a while for them to finally jump into my arms. Now, after I caught them a time or two, then they wanted to keep jumping. Well, I want to say to everybody in the house today, your heavenly Father wants you and me to trust him. But how many of us are trusting him? Or how many of us worry and fret and live in fear so much of the time? Beloved, let's know that if our earthly children can trust us, being weak, frail parents, how much more should God's children trust in him? He is the God of the universe. So listen now to what the text says. And his children came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Listen to that, beloved. They went from a great tempest to a great calm. And you know why? They went from a great tempest to a great calm because a great God was in their midst. And you may be going through a great tempest today in your life. We all face them. But I want to encourage all of us today to know that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you and I can think of or ask for. How many of y'all believe in a God like that today? And I hope you, when you leave here today, you'll know he is your heavenly Father and you can trust in him. But the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? I love that, don't y'all? Our God is able to speak to the winds and the sea and they obey him. He's got power. Our faith can enable us to believe that God has all power on the face of this earth. Now, Satan does not want us to live by faith. Y'all do know there's a devil in this world, don't you? He is. He's real. I don't like to preach the devil. He's not my subject. But I want all of us to know that we have an enemy. And he's walking about, seeking whom he may bless? No, he's seeking whom he may devour. Satan is our enemy. And you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to fill our minds with worry and fear and anxiety. That's what Satan wants to do. And beloved, I want to encourage all of us today to not listen to him and let him get access into our minds and thoughts and poison us and cause us to tremble in God's presence. No, I want us today to grow in our faith and know that the Savior that was with those brethren in that little ship is still alive today. How many of y'all believe Jesus is alive today? Y'all think he's still in the Jerusalem grave? No, he did die, but he arose again 3 days later. And he's at our Father's right hand in glory to help us today in our troubles and trials. I believe in a God who's alive and able. And able to, and he loves us beyond anything we could ever imagine. And so, our faith needs to be growing. Yes, we have little faith sometimes, and our faith in God needs to be growing. I want to turn with you now to a text over in Psalm 33, where the scriptures would tell us something about our God. In verse 5, Psalm 33 and verse 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. How many of y'all have faith enough in God today to believe he's a good God? I tell you, Satan doesn't want us to honor God. Satan doesn't want us to trust God. He doesn't want us to believe God is good. He will do all in his power to poison our minds against our God. But I want you all to know today, based on what the psalmist says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And if you've got eyes to see it, you know his goodness fills the earth today. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, after God would create something, he would look at it and say, I messed up on that. I got to throw that in the trash can. No, every time he created something, he said, it's good. Y'all remember that? Every time he created the animals, he would say, it's good. When he created the stars, he said, it's good. When he created the sun and the moon, he said, it's good. When he created the oceans, he said, it's good. Everything God created was good. And very good, by the way. How many of y'all believe the earth is full of the goodness of God today? Now, if you watch the news all the time and you never read your Bibles and you never get your minds on God, you probably think the earth is just full of nothing but trouble and bad people. But I want to tell you, the earth is full of the goodness of God today. And it's all around us if we have eyes to see. I tell you, God provides. It's amazing. You know what? We all need to keep a journal. And in that journal, we just need to write down what God does for us every day. I shared this recently somewhere in a sermon. When my girls were small, they were just like all other children. You know, they wanted this and they wanted this and they wanted that. They didn't wait till Christmas. They wanted something all the time, just like I was when I was a kid. How many of y'all have a good wanter? You want this, you want that, you want the other. And they seldom, if ever, said anything about being thankful. Now, Betch and Amanda have allowed me to say this. I hope. I hope they're going to be okay with me telling y'all this. I just got tired of them wanting everything and never talking about how thankful they were. So I bought them journals. And I said, girls, I want y'all to start writing down every day a list of, you know, I don't remember just now, maybe 5 things that you're thankful for every day. And I remember very well, Betsy, 5 things? How in the world am I going to come up with 5 things that I'm thankful for? You know, now if I'd have said, make me a list of 5 things you want, that wouldn't have been any problem. But you know, once they started doing it, it exercised their mind and they became aware of how many blessings there were around them. Now you and I are God's little children. Could y'all make a list today of 5 things y'all are thankful for? You say, Brother Sam, life is hard. I got it tough. Let me tell you, every breath of air you breathe is a gift from God. Every breath. How many of y'all have got a bill from God lately on for oxygen? You know, they put Nelda on oxygen last night. They charge you for oxygen. But God, does God charge y'all? How many bills have y'all got from God charging you for the oxygen that you're breathing in? It's a gift. I love the story of the man who was in the hospital and he got a bill and They had put him on oxygen and he was crying, and the doctor said, "Don't cry. We'll work this bill out. Don't worry. We'll work it." He said, "I'm not crying about the bill." He said, "I'm crying for joy because my Heavenly Father has been giving me oxygen all my life and never charged me for one breath." How many of y'all are with me today? Let's just start counting our blessings. I got 10 fingers, 10 toes. You know, when the babies are born, you know, I never was concerned about whether it's a boy or girl. I just always was hoping they'd be healthy. How about y'all today? Are y'all with me this morning? Anybody in the house want to hear about how good God is to us? The earth is full of His goodness. Sunshine, rain. God doesn't charge us for any of that. How long would we last without it? I want to tell you, the earth is full of His goodness. And faith enables us to see it. But Satan wants us to crawl over here in a corner and murmur and complain and bellyache and talk about how bad everything is and it's going to get worse. I want to tell y'all, we worship a good God. Now I know there's evil in the world, there's sin, but it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Come on, let's put the blame where it belongs. And if it wasn't for God's goodness, let me tell you, it'd be a lot worse than it is. So the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, and our faith enables us to believe that God is good, that He is faithful to us in every way. How many of us this morning have enough faith in God to believe that His way is best? You know, Jesus said in the Garden of Eden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," watch out now, "not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." How many of us trust God that His way is best? Wow, now you're talking about getting a little nervous. Can I really trust God? Well, I want to tell you, my faith is His way is the best way. His way. And we just need to learn to trust Him and commit the keeping of our souls. I want to tell you all this morning, God hears our prayers. I appreciated the testimony of this card this morning. I didn't know it was here, Sister Michelle, but you know, that blessed my heart. I know we prayed for her husband who was critically ill, life-threatening injury. God hears our prayers. Now, he's not Santa Claus. You can't just ring His bell and He comes running like a servant. He's God. But I want to tell you, you and I can trust Him. And if He doesn't answer our prayer just the way we want Him to answer it, let's just trust Him to answer it the way He wants to answer it. Ooh. You say, "Now wait a minute, Sam, I can't trust God that much." Come on. He's God. He knows the end from the beginning. And you and I just need to learn to trust in Him and lean on Him. I want to close this morning by going with you over to 1 Peter chapter 4, where the Apostle Peter would say in verse 19, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." You know, beloved, it's a wonderful thing. And I struggle with this. It's a battle every day to fight Satan and the world and the flesh. I appreciated Brother Caleb's prayer this morning, asking God to help me to fight the good fight and overcome my flesh. How many of y'all have a fleshly nature that you don't like? I do, but it goes with me everywhere I go. I'd love to be able to pull it off and leave it at home. but I can't. It goes with me everywhere I go. And I have these thoughts that come into my mind. And I know that's the devil. That's the flesh. Lord, I don't accept that thought. Do y'all ever have thoughts come into your mind and you know they're not good and you just don't know where they came from? I tell you where they come from. They come from your fleshly nature, which is sinful, and the devil. I don't know how Satan gets access to our thoughts, but he does. And he's always aggravating us and tempting us. And we need to be aware of that fact. But beloved, listen to what the apostle would say here. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. God suffers us to go through trials and tribulations in this life. He certainly did the beloved apostle Paul, who suffered so much. Paul spent much of his life as a preacher in prison. He finally was beheaded in Rome. He was stoned in Lystra. And God suffered all of that to be. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of your souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Is God a faithful creator? He's still got the sun coming up in the morning. How many of y'all helped God this morning to bring the sun up? I heard this story about a rooster that lived on a farm, and every morning the rooster was the first one up, and he'd crow. You know how roosters can crow, and the other animals would start waking up, and then Farmer Brown and his wife started waking up, and the rooster felt like, man, I'm important around here. If I didn't wake up, nobody else would wake up. And of course, when he started crowing, the sun started coming up, and he got it in his mind, if it wasn't for me crowing, the sun wouldn't even come up. So he got to worrying and thinking, if I go to sleep and don't wake up, the sun won't come up. So he stayed up all night. And he got to where he couldn't get any sleep. Now this is a make-believe story. Y'all stay with me. Sounds like some of us. You know, we think we're indispensable. You know, the cemetery is full of people that thought they were indispensable. We need y'all, we love y'all, but none of us are indispensable. God alone is indispensable. Well, the old rooster finally wasn't getting any sleep, had a nervous breakdown. Because he thought, if I don't stay awake and get that sun coming up and wake up Farmer Brown, everything's going to shut down. You know what? You and I can get such a thought in our minds. We're that important. We're that... Are y'all with me? Let's just go to sleep at night and know God's going to get that sun up in the morning without our help. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all ever worried about the sun not coming up? It's right on time. I mean, right on time. When I was in Africa one time in Nairobi, I had a 30-hour layover in that airport. I tell you, oh, you have little faith. I got depressed. I thought, if I got to stay in this place, and I was on my way home. I thought, if I got to stay in, and listen, it's not like being in the Atlanta airport. No good place to eat. And finally it occurred to me, Sam, you just need to be praying. So I found a prayer room and I went in there, and there was a guy from London, from Paris, France in there, a Christian. And we got to talking and praying together, and I just got to feeling better. Let me tell you, prayer is an amazing thing. When you're talking to God, things get better. How many of y'all are with me today? Well, it occurred to me, I'm in this airport and there's all these people from all over the world in here. I need to get out and meet some of them. I got 30 hours on my hands. Time's an awful thing to kill. You don't want to kill time. I got to visit with this woman from China who was over there, sent by her country to help with some kind of water. Let me tell you, China's making a big investment in China, in Africa today. I mean, they're buying up the country. Well, anyway, I got to talking to her. She's an atheist. She didn't believe in God. I said, well, now that's interesting. You don't believe in God? She said, no, 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 no. I said, well, I've got a wristwatch here, this very wristwatch that I got this morning. I said, it's a Timex, but it's a good watch. It keeps time. But you know what? Nobody designed it. Nobody built it. It just accidentally came together. The hands, the numbers, the crystal, it all just came together. And it keeps good time. You believe that? She said, no, no, no. No, 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 I don't believe that. I said, well, did you know there's a great big clock in the sky that our atomic clock in Washington, D.C. can determine exactly what time it is in the universe by checking that the movement of the heavenly bodies and their relationship to one another? Are y'all, how many of y'all are with me this? How many of y'all already turned me off? I want to tell you. I said, you're telling me this little wristwatch couldn't happen by accident, but that great big clock up there that never has to be adjusted, the battery never runs out, it's always on time. You're telling me that all happened by accident? She was listening. A little while later, I asked her another question, and I'll never forget it. She said, I'm still thinking about the watch. She couldn't get her mind off the watch. I want to tell you all this morning, we worship a God who is a faithful creator. He's keeping the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets in their place. And you know, I read the other day an article, very interesting, about the heavenly stars. There's billions of them. And one astronomer says they move like they're in a great big dance. Those stars, like you've ever seen people ballroom dancing, they all know where they belong. He said the stars, it's like they're all dancing and God has got them in their place. We worship an awesome God, don't we? Oh Lord, my God, when I an awesome wonder. Thank you all for your attention today. I want y'all to leave here this morning praying that my faith will grow, that your faith will grow, that we can experience that peace that passes all understanding. See, if our faith doesn't grow any, my preaching this morning's been in vain. I need it. I've been preaching to myself and hopefully preaching to you all.